Alright, time for another Google is Evil. It really is. Really, really is. Video presentation. Do not God sponsored, we could say. Some sort of crap like that. Anyway, yeah, so I think I'm going to do comments. Website comments I haven't paid any attention to, I have to admit. I'm really not very interactive because everybody, seems like an idiot. Now, every now and then somebody will bring up some kind of, yes, it's actually true, but so what? Kind of point. Some little point like, the feral cat thing always pops into my head. So somebody could say, well, it's much better to run over the cats than to let them die naturally. Okay, yeah, that's true, but it's so horrifically awful as an idea, just to even have the idea in somebody's head, don't try to miss the cat, try to run it over because I'm doing it a favor. Now, it's such a malicious and ugly thing to have in your brain that you're also saying, well, it would be much better if you just shoot yourself or you drive your car into another person's car because they're probably having some malicious thought too, some stupid thought, real asshole thought. There's real asshole running through their brain system, and they're going to probably do stupid things in the immediate future. So yes, drive your car into somebody else's car. It's probably the right thing to do, logically. Something like that. Or even this idea, if somebody could defend being a serial killer because, yes, it does the world so much good because it takes just a certain number of assholes out of the game who will just make a mess. They'll just have kids, they'll, ruin them, destroy them, kill them eventually in some slow and horrible way with their delusions and nonsense. So, they can make some sort of point like that, but obviously it's useless as a point. Not only practically, in terms of, that'll just get you arrested, but it's stupid in the sense that you're conceding this, the depth of the ludicrousness of the very idea of having to think that way just makes taking another breath a bad idea. Okay. That's probably not the best way to explain it, but sometimes, yes, it's just not practical. The truth is sometimes just so impractical that there's no point in it. Go ahead, raise the point and make the argument. But again, is there really any point in arguing the argument? It's like the idiot commenters often say something stupid like, we have to build our army of antinatalists. No, you can't do that, okay? It's again so unethical to presume that you're going to somehow force your kid to be, to fulfill your agenda, to do what you haven't even done. It's like you're going to force them to clean up the mess you didn't clean up with your existence. There's something just so grotesquely obnoxious about that imposition. You're making an argument about how it's evil to be an imposer, and yet you want to advocate for a huge imposition. Come on. Yeah, not very useful. But I'm just saying, sometimes these statements are factual and actual, but they're just not realistically useful. And so it's not like everybody's an imbecile. But most of the comments are just, they're just stupid. So I don't bother. But anyway, they're just depressing is what they are. Okay. All right, anyway. So, the truth sucks. Okay, thank you for the title. Maybe the titles will get put there automatically. I don't know. Check out 550 here. No, I don't think I will. Ricardo Lopez, the Bork stalker. Who the fuck could care? I don't know. A Bork stalker? I don't know. He cites the selfishness of having kids. Okay, yeah, well, I think that's a pretty good argument that there's no, people don't have kids for any good reasons. It's always some stupid reason. I interrogated my parents on the subject and they conceded, yep, we didn't think about it at all, really. We just didn't really think about it. just did it because everybody else was doing it, and whoops, yeah, it wasn't really a great idea. Okay, he cites the selfishness of having kids. Well, it's okay, it's selfish, and it's also stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, I don't know what people think. I mean, everybody else is doing it. I have to do it. I don't know what they want with this kid. I mean, I don't know how a kid would... I could never really imagine how one would improve my life. I mean, I don't... But where is it going to fit in my golf bag? Do I have to carry it when I'm out golfing? What do I do with it? What good is it? Okay, is it a great idea when I'm going out to the hookatorium or something, or I'm going to the mall and checking out the chicks or something? I mean, what am I going to do with this kid thing? Exactly how is it useful in any way whatsoever? And that's the thing I had a problem with. Like, what does this prove? Oh, it proves I impregnated a girl, so I must have some kind of penis, maybe? I mean, I don't know. What do they think? I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking when they have kids. I just don't get it at all. I just, there's no part of me that says any of it, it makes any sense. And especially, like I said, especially when I found out, hey, it's not going to be me. It's going to be half whatever her freaking family looks like. You know, and you check out the family and you see, oh, she has a retarded brother. And, you know, she's, oh, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't think I want one of those. Yeah, no, I'll pass. Thank you. Not being asked to be brought into the world. Yes, okay. So it's a, yes, yes. It's selfish to have kids, and we don't ask to be a participant in whatever this little fun park is. So you go, you have some little crazy little fucking idiotic place you go to have fun. Whatever. The carnival, okay? And you're assuming that everybody just loves the carnival. No, maybe some people think it smells and it's noisy and useless. Again, just it has no value. It has, there's nothing here to do. My family used to go to these things, these carnival things. And what I would do is, yes, I'd just go find the best gambling booth, you know, where you pay your 50 cents and pick up a duck and it says you win or something. Okay, yeah, that was fun. No, it really wasn't. It was a waste of time. All right. Let's go play miniature golf. All right, a crime to bring children into the world. Well, it's an insane risk and imposition. So in that sense, it seems an obvious crime to taking a little toddler and putting him on the tightrope and saying, I hope you don't get cancer, and I hope you don't do this, and I hope you don't do that. Good luck. Fuck you. Yeah. Especially in a world that's disgusting. I mean, the world is putrid. The values are putrid. The cultural, the whole commercialism, the whole disgusting, manipulating bullshit everywhere. Why the fuck would you say, oh, I'm going to do you a favor so you can watch, you know, insurance company commercials? Yeah, it'll be fun. Fuck. It's just, yeah, sorry. It's such an obvious argument for me. See, it's really hard for me to be an advocate because, yeah, I never, you know, I've sort of pointed this out, but there was a point in my early life, okay, where my parents, now my father didn't say much, so I can't blame him, but my mother did. You know, you ask her a question, why does that man have one leg? And she'd come up with some dopey, well, it's God's will, and I guess somehow it makes his wife appreciate something, or it does something, or somebody else is affected in some positive way because he only has one leg, so God thought it was a good idea. And you're saying, oh, you can't believe that. You can't be fucking stupid enough to believe that stupid story. So, I mean, once there was this argument, I heard the word evolution, I say, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. We're living in chaos. It's a shithole. You know, the snakes are real. Oh, okay, I get it now. Everything looks like a monster because it is a fucking monster. Oh, okay, now it makes sense. And now I had to accept the fact that people are stupid, lying sacks of ignorant, retarded fucking shit. So that was the big downside, right? You learn the truth and you realize, oh, I live in a world where morons are running it. everything is being run by a moron who believes in this fably bullshitty story. They're stupid enough to believe that. So I automatically was starting to become, you know, an antisocial monster in a sense, because you're stuck living in a world that is alien. You're now an alien because you're saying, shit, most of the people I'm going to interact with are imbeciles? Oh, fuck. No fun in that. All right. So, you know. All right, the videos never play. Oh, whiny, whiny, complain, complain. Now, underneath every video, there's links that say save as. Save as, save as, save as. So you can save it as an MP4, but that's a big file. You can save it as a W, whatever it is, Wombat or something. And that's a smaller file, but it's pretty crappy. Or you can save it as an MP3. And so you can just save it, download the video onto your hard drive, and then you can play it like any other video on your hard drive, and you won't have these bandwidth limitations. Now, it's just a fact that the server runs at a certain crap speed because I ain't paying much for it. And so that's the crap speed it runs at. And so certain circumstances, it won't be able to play the video because it won't be able to get the information quickly enough. Now, in most cases, I can play the video on my computer without a problem. But yes, I try to play it on, you know, my Wi-Fi connected bullshit, and it doesn't do so well sometimes. But too bad. That's the way it's going to be. So if you don't like it, go watch something else, okay? I mean, if I'm worth it, then you can go to the minor amount of trouble to download the video and play it. If you can't, you can't. Sorry. Too bad. But, you know, I've already explained why I'm protesting Google. Google's an evil company. Everybody plays on their park. They get to own the ball field. They get to make all the rules for the rest of human existence. So if you don't stop them now, you're never going to stop them. And all of you assholes are just giving them exactly what they want, which is you're accepting anything they do. They now have ads in their search results. Now, it used to be they just put one at the top, okay? Now, this was supposed to be something no search engine was supposed to do, right? So Google used to mock the other search engines for having ads in their search results. And now it's doing exactly that. And now it's not doing it just on the top. It's doing it all through the results, all over the place. And it says that little, oh, it's an ad. Oh, it's an ad. Fuck you. Oh, they paid you to put it on top of the list. Oh, okay, so sooner or later, the whole list is going to be a paid fucking list, you assholes. God, I hate people. All right, so somebody posted the title of the video. Okay, yes, that's your comment. Okay, the videos never play. Well, it's a lie that they never play, so that's just stupid. But fuck you. Too bad. All right, it's part of the fun, okay, of being on Earth is, you know, things don't work right. End game will be no game. Okay, no comment. Okay, so not a very smart person there. The truth sucks. Your story about the abiogenesis could have happened still sounds like a religion. Well, let's understand what a religion is. A religion is when you make up a silly story that has magical features in it, okay, not non-magical. And it's always directly related to some creator, okay, some guiding intelligence that puked this slop, okay, on purpose in some way. Like it's a deliberate creation of something with intelligence, you know, a brain that understood the difference between torture and fun, that kind of thing. That's a religion. So it's never going to qualify for a religion. So you say there's something magical about the idea that because of gravity, okay, and charge, that elements in the universe end up sticking to each other. Okay, anti-entropy. Somebody's going to bring up entropy, I think. Yes, it's very anti-entropy. That's the way the universe works, right? See, the universe isn't run on entropy. It's just a principle that if you imagine the universe, and then you imagine all the light and you know, all the cell phone calls and all the other energy that shoots out in the universe and it never hits anything, you get the idea that the universe runs out of energy eventually because all that stuff goes somewhere, but it never comes back. So if it can't get back in and it just goes out, well, then the system has to run down. But do we really know it never comes back? Yeah, do we really know that? Yeah, no, we don't really know that. Anyway, so it's not anti-entropy, and it doesn't require some sort of leap of faith to understand that you just put regular water in a vial and you can watch it change colors and do things, okay? Because there's tiny little pieces of crap, you know, in the environment that you don't even know it's there until it clumps together. So all this stuff ends up clumping, and the clumps end up becoming compounds. They become bonded together molecularly into new substances. Okay, so I mean, abiogenesis is just saying, yes, okay, the DNA molecule, like every other molecule on Earth that occurs naturally, occurs because of this mechanism of clumping. Just, it's not a very, that's hardly a gigantic religious notion, retard. Okay, anyway. It is based on, well, it just happened. Well, that's not a quote of mine, just jackass. So, just jackass, no, it didn't just happen. Okay, it happened through processes. And so you can have processes that happen often. There's geysers, okay? There's geysers that shoot every 10 minutes. There's Old Faithful every hour. And then there's ones that take 10,000 years. Yeah, every 10,000 years, the geyser explodes, you know, does the geyser thing. It's got a sign in front of it. Every 10,000 years, this geyser goes off, you know. 10,000 years, you know, I'm just saying, you know, so, things happen, and things that are very rare happen, and things that are very common happen. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, in deference to all reason and observation, so that's the joke. So there's absolutely no, it's clearly the fact that things happen, and they happen for reasons, and no one's arguing abiogenesis wasn't a reason. And it's not that hard to speculate about, you know, the creation of membranes. I mean, water drops create a membrane all by themselves just because of the mechanical structure of the molecules. You know, the fact is that there has to be a last atom, and the last atom is different than the interior atom. The atom on the outside is different than the atoms on the inside. So you end up with something that's basically a membrane. And it's not too hard to figure out that, oh, maybe a DNA molecule could get stuck inside of a water drop. Yeah, maybe it could. Ugh, fuck. Complex systems randomly occurring out of chaos. Yes, that happens all the fucking time. So, and again, there is no real true chaos. We just use that word to describe a system that has so many variables that we can't keep track of them. All right, but the fact is that there's an actual mechanical process that takes place. There are these truly bizarrely rare events, you know, like two kids get, you know, I don't know, there's a pair of twins and one of them ends, they separate them and one grows up in America and one's in Bangladesh or something. And then 50 years later, they both go into a Quick Check, you know, the same Quick Check, and they're at the counter and they go, hey, you look just like me. You know, something bizarrely. Well, what the fuck are the odds of that? Oh, yeah, they aren't very good odds. You wouldn't bet on it. Oh, fuck. Anyway. Even a violation of entropy. There it is. So it's not a violation of entropy. Entropy is an idea about what happens over the long term. It's not about what happens in the closed little systems. And clearly, gravity is anti-entropy, idiot. So you're going to say gravity's magic because it's anti-entropy, and charge is anti-entropy, idiot. So you have these two major functions that take place in the universe all the time, you know, charged objects and gravity, that are completely anti-entropy. So what? Yes, obviously. So yes, the universe as it currently exists isn't entropying, okay, in any obvious way. It's not obviously losing so much energy that it freezes right before our eyes. No, that's not happening. Idiot. Jerk. Fucktard. Anyway, somehow a molecule randomly, so it doesn't, you know, again, so let's use silly words again. Seemingly randomly, okay, would be better. Okay, it's just an illusion, random. It's not a real thing. Okay, self-assembles. So that's, it didn't self-assemble. No one's arguing it self-assembled. The environment forced the interaction at the quick check. Okay, the events that need to take place took place. Okay, like you know, I said before, it's kind of clear that through this evolutionary process, there was a point where one cell consumed another cell, and they both survived. Okay, as cells, and that became the nucleic cell, the first cell that had a nucleus, and it was really just a cell inside of another cell. Okay. Now, it requires a certain environmental circumstance for that to happen. All right? But it doesn't require magic. It just requires putting the things together and having the right circumstance for it not to digest the other cell or whatever the thing is. So it's, again, there's no... arguing for abiogenesis is hardly arguing for some magic. Especially when you think how filthy, you know, the world gets, how quickly the world gets covered in shit. Even Mars, it's got all kinds of little different elements, different colors, different bullshit going on. All kinds of different rates of decomposition and oxidization and different things taking place, you retard. Even a violation of entry. Somehow a molecule runs itself with the ability to multiply and to code for something meaningful. Now, that didn't happen in one action, jackass. Just like you didn't go from a sponge to a Tyrannosaurus in 3 days. So, yes, the process is incremental. So first there had to be a DNA. First it had to be connected to the idea of a dirty, let's call them dirty raindrops or something, right? Dirty punks of ocean water, you could argue, that created the first membrane. So the water's filthy. It's got a bunch of stuff in it. The stuff ends up going to the outside of the water droplet and ends up creating a structure. And then every time the water droplet gets smashed, it breaks into other little water droplets. And so you're replicating the membrane, you know, that kind of idea. Lots of ways to understand how DNA could be end up being first multiplied merely by mechanical process, and then eventually the DNA molecule mimics the mechanical process. And if you watch mitosis of chromosomes, you'll see pretty much that process of just recreating a second cell. You know, you could have done it with a knife, you know, you could have just cut a knife and spread this, you know, separate the two. But the DNA molecule does it its own way. It doesn't have a knife, so it does it a different way. Shithead. Even a violation, okay. With the ability to multiply and code for something meaningful that would code for the creation of proteins. Yeah, I mean the creation of its protein, okay? And then the rest of it is just making new chemistry. DNA molecule is basically just what's read is a chemical change. So as it goes across a process, it just makes a different piece of chemical, depending on what code it ends up hitting. And the code changes as it goes and blah, 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 you know, so it can, the process. But you see, it's all cell division, one cell at a time, right? It makes another cell, that cell starts dividing, then it makes another cell, those cells are all dividing. The process has already been videotaped. Nothing magical. Which are themselves an assembly of many amino acids. Yes, it's mechanical structure. The universe creates mechanical structures. There's compounds all over the place in the universe, okay? They don't only exist on Earth. All right, somehow, simultaneously, a ribosome just happened to be floating around and know that a DNA code is to be translated to a particular string of amino acids. So again, none of this happened the way you're assuming it to happen. It takes millions of years, thousands, hundreds of thousands, anyway, from step one to step two to step three to step four. And it just has to do with once you make a membrane, the membrane becomes a filter. It only lets certain chemistry in. You know, you can start to understand how everything becomes an isolated environment. And all this isolation means that things are structured to fit the isolation that they're in. So there was no Robozone magically poofed. It evolved like everything else out of the chemistry, all right? And its function just happened to be very conducive or useful to the cell, so the cell started reproducing it. Not magic. All right. Oh, and somehow this whole process, a Filiceva membrane had to know to encapsulate all this. Yeah, the membrane was early on, and it's still quite primitive and crude. So, I mean, it's just a filter. So, yeah, that's part of the chemistry. But it's not part of the chemistry that the DNA molecule actually makes, right? It just cuts it, you know, just separates the pieces and says, fill in the rest, fill in the rest, fill in the rest. But whatever. So, and your opposing theory is there's some fucking intelligence that came from nothing, didn't evolve at all, just poofed into existence, whatever, a gazillion, bazillion years ago, and it just sits around all day thinking of ways to torture sentient beings. I mean, that's your theory. That's your counter-argument. The great creator did it. Yeah. The creator that wasn't created did it. Fuck. Shit. So, until you have a better counter theory, right, there's no point in you picking at the fact that we don't have a videotape of evolution, of abiogenesis. I mean, we had to piece together the evolution thing through geology and fossil records and carbon dating and all kinds of different methods, but we did piece it together, and we can see it actively happening. You know, you can see the Galapagos Islands have a different age. You know, you can see how they're coming out of the earth. You know, you can see all of that quite obviously, and you can understand the tremendous time scales over which this takes place. And you know, so the evidence is really overwhelming for the slow process of creation, not any poofing. Idiot. All right. Website does not stream for me, saddy face. Well, again, you have to figure out life isn't this that easy. You know, sometimes you have to put in a little bit of effort. Sorry, but that's the way it works. You keep claiming not to believe in free will, but clearly you do. So we've seen this comment before. No, clearly I don't. Yeah. I don't know. This seems familiar. Like I must have read this comment. Well, anyway, I'm here. I'm going to keep reading. Yeah. They seem like old comments, but maybe they're not that old. But clearly you do. You want two people to choose to do what you see as good for the future. No, they have to be inspired. Everything has to be triggered by events. That's all we are. We're guns with fingers on them. We're reflexes. And so you have to hit their reflex. I have to say words in a certain way, like throwing a pebble at them, and I have to hit them in the right spot. And then they'll go, oh, I get it. You know, that kind of thing happens. You know, so we're all dependent on that. I was dependent on that. You know, my mother had to tell me some silly stories. Then I became curious and had to find a better truth than the silly fable they were telling me. So yeah, it's all cause and effect. You know, you have to, that's all there is. And so I'm obviously saying, I'm trying to trigger people by saying something so purely logical that they can't escape it, and it just sits inside of their brain, and they're just troubled by it. What do I do with this? So I like make the argument that, you know, the important part of what's happening to you is how you feel, and that you not be tortured, and that, you know, certain really horrible things don't happen to you. You hope that you don't, you know, get the fate, the bad, you know, you don't pull the small straw. And that's all we're in this for, is trying to find this comfortable thing. And it's so, you know, immediate. You know, it's right now, you know. And we're going to keep doing right now over and over again. So we're just going to keep rolling the dice every 33 seconds. We're rolling a new set of dice. And they could be, oh, now is the time for you to have your heart attack. Now is the time for, you know, blah, 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 the blood vessel to explode in your brain. And you know, and we're all just trying to struggle to not be tortured. I mean, it's really what we're here. What else are we doing here except trying not to be tortured? You know, and, you know, the benefit of not being tortured is that things aren't so bad. Okay, so you're trying to just stay in a not so bad state. You know, and you know that there's certain desires that you have to satisfy, certain ideas of security you have to have, or you're going to be worried and have an upset stomach, and, you know, you're going to be tortured. So you have to have certain things that in your head are okay, or you can't be comfortable. So if you see a big sword hanging over your head, you know, you can't just sit there and say, oh, I'm comfortable. No, you're like, I'm really kind of uncomfortable. I don't like this seat. So you have to do something about it. And the simple idea is that everything else with a brain is doing the same thing. And so saving yourself from sitting under a sword is the same thing as saving somebody else from sitting under a sword. And so you're stuck in this dilemma that, well, you know, if I'm going to use my intelligence intelligently, then my intelligence has to be in it for everyone. It has to be constantly measuring my own interests versus the interest of all the other things out there. And maybe if I have $5, maybe I can save more people from torture with the $5 out there than I can save myself from torture by holding on to the $5. So you end up with this horrible dilemma of, oh shit, you mean I have to live my life as a slave to all these other broken, vulnerable beings? And yeah, that's the truth. If you're going to be smart, that's your obligation, because that's what all the facts lead to, is that all that matters is how many brains were tortured. It doesn't matter which ones were tortured. It just matters how many. And so your obligation here is to fix the world. Ooh, that doesn't sound like any much fun. But yeah, that's the obligation. So, I mean, it's a simple idea. You just throw it at people and they go, well, okay, let me think about that. I have a brain, they have a brain, the brains are doing basically the same thing. Yeah, okay, I think about, you know, big boobs and, you know, small asses, and they think about big asses and small boobs, and, you know, yeah, we have different little subtle differences, but basically we're all doing the same fucking thing. And the value engine of our welfare, the thing that makes the universe matter at all, is the fact that there are all these little feeling things in it, okay, that have the ability to be tortured. And the whole idea is to give them umbrellas, you know, protection from torture. And the easiest way to do that is not to bring them into the world in the first place. Yes, the most expedient, cheapest, most efficient way to prevent torture is to quit creating things that can be tortured. Shit. Let's see. But clearly you do. So clearly I don't. Okay, there's no free will. Every idea has a source, has a an ancestry of crap banging into crap. And then when the crap bangs into you and the idea occurs to you because your brain mixes it out of the ingredients have to hit you, and then you, okay, just based on reflexes, you bounce the idea around and come up with your version of it. You want people to choose. Again, people decide. And yes, I want people to decide to do what I see as good for the future. Yes, I want them to decide in the sense that I want them, they have to understand to decide, right? They can't make the decision until they have the information. So yes, I want them to decide that believing in some sort of silly creator is retarded, okay, and that they're stuck with the facts, which are that evolution is insanely inefficient. It's Mengele logic. I mean, it doesn't have any idea that torture is bad, and so it uses a mechanism that has a tremendous amount of torture in it, in the sense that it uses this idea that make a whole bunch of copies, force them to compete with each other and destroy each other, so only the survivors will be great warriors and great fighters and survivors. So it's a freaking hugely attrition. I mean, it's like you're killing thousands to save one. It's that stupid. It's a medicine that you make out of, like, to save one cancer patient, you ground up 1,000 healthy people. Yeah. It's really, really stupid. So again, this, you know, go ahead. Okay, you think you made an effective argument trying to basically slander me as a hypocrite or as a false prophet or some other kind of bullshit. So clearly I have no interest in any conversation about us being to free anything. I sort of made the point that I don't even believe the word free is a rational word. It's not rational. There's no such thing as free except free from. Okay, so you can't have a free. You can only have a free from. You can only be free from a prison or free for some other confinement. You can never be free. Okay, there's no such thing. So even the word is stupid. And I've pointed it out. What would free will look like? You're free from what you've learned? You're free from practice? I mean, I learned 2 + 2 = 4. I'm somehow free to believe it equals 3? No, I'm not. It's just so fucking stupid. All right. It's worth a few paralyzed kids. Your religion of we are all robots. So, again, it's not a religion. It's exactly the opposite of a religion in the sense that it's saying we're not magical. There's no creator. It's a stupid system that makes stupid machines. And we're just stupid machines. You know, we're just calculators. And the fact is, though, is our brain is equipped to do logic and reasoning. It's equipped to navigate the real world. So we actually do have the logic skills, okay, to get the right answers. And it's just that, unfortunately, retards like you keep talking babbly religious bullshit and trying to get people to believe something else. Anyway, it doesn't really jive with what you obviously believe. So, again, just the more of the same accusation restated again. Yes, I actually believe I'm a robot, okay? There's nothing about me that I can't look right back into my history and account for why I am that way. I already did it. I already explained a couple of stories to you of moments of realization and how those realizations completely changed who I was, where I was heading, where my brain was, how my brain functioned. Okay, nothing magical about it, nothing free will about it. Okay, it required a circumstance. It required causes. Alright, it doesn't jive with your views of culpability. So this is more bullshit. My view of culpability is if you have a toaster and it doesn't make good toast, it burns the toast, you throw it in the garbage. You don't throw it in the garbage because, oh, I hate the toaster, or, oh, I want to get revenge on the toaster, or any of that crap. You throw it away because it doesn't work. Okay, so my definition of culpability is that people who suck, okay, who cares why they suck? They suck. They're broken. They don't work. They don't function properly. They cause harm and damage. So you fucking throw them out. All right, be done with it, okay? You don't spend trillions of dollars to fix your toaster, and you shouldn't spend trillions of dollars to fix a broken human. Fuck it. Passively, humanely, put it to sleep. Okay, be done with it. All right, so yeah, I have a, you know, one strike rule, frankly. I mean, you know, this is getting to be such bullshit. This liberal crapola that there's anything charming about these thugs. You know, that they're sitting there and pampering and saying, oh, you couldn't help being a violent creep. Yeah, fuck, who cares whether you could help it or not? You're a violent creep. Game over. It's just so fucking stupid. And then I've pointed out how reward and punishment is really important for our kind of learning. We learn through reward and punishment. We're conditioned by it, actually. I mean, we are really hard programmed by, you know, having positive experiences and negative experiences. You know, you go to Disneyland and you throw up, and then for the rest of your life you hate Mickey Mouse. I mean, little things happen. We're conditioned by these things that happen to us. So reward and punishment is acutely important. And that's how you create these broken people, okay, is they have really bad life experiences where they're rewarded for the wrong thing and punished for the wrong things, and they become psychopaths and idiots and morons in terms of their own gratification and how they, what pleases them, okay. Their brain becomes all kinds of fucktarded. But clearly, I'm pointing out that culpability, reward and punishment only works, okay, as an idea, if you punish the guilty. If you just punish anyone, it doesn't work. You have to punish the actual guilty, and you have to reward the actual good. So that's the only way it works. So if you're going to create a system called justice, and you're going to create a system called deterrence, the only way deterrence can work is you don't randomly, because somebody murdered somebody, you don't randomly find somebody in society and give them the death penalty because somebody was murdered. No, you go out and you find somebody guilty and you punish them. Then it tells all the other people that, oh, you get punished when you do bad things. And they won't do bad things then because they're selfish cunts. And they'll realize, oh, I'm risking my own welfare. So in a sense, you know, there's a point where you'd almost say, you know, especially with the psycho killers, that we probably should torture them. I mean, just to really send the message that we're going to do to you what you did to your victims, and you're not going to like it. Because they're deathly afraid of that. See, that's the part of their whole psychology is they think they're superior beings. They think these are much lesser beings. The last thing they want to do is be treated like a lesser being. Okay, so it scares the fuck out of them that we might, you know, half kill them and rape their half-dead body. Yeah, but maybe that's what they should get. Just so the other psycho killers know that we're on to them. And we know how to get to them. And we'll torture them back. Yeah, but they're afraid of torture. They're pussies. Okay? They don't want to suffer. They don't want to live the life of their victim. Alright. Just like the slave owner wouldn't want to live the life of their slaves. And yet they did it anyway, right? They imposed the crime, but they wouldn't want to be the victim of the crime. So the hypocrisy of the psycho killer can be used to our advantage. But instead of doing that, we let them escape. Okay, yes. Anyway, rat race in woo space. Okay, I think as long as it's not me-ism, I think as long as it's not me-ism, and I'm fine so everything is fine-ism, is at the core of everything you criticize. Yeah, obviously, it's this really ignorant notion that somehow as long as it's happening to somebody else, it's okay. Whew, thank goodness. Yes, the world is fine. Yeah, that's really dumb. And even as a person who knows better, I can't help but feel it, frankly. You know, something bad happens, I do feel, oh, yeah, lucky me. Phew, escaped another one. I mean, I, you know, the fact is, I feel good about not being them. And that sucks that I feel good about that. But I mean, I do. But I'm just saying, so that's how dumb people are. They go with that visceral feeling and they don't, oh, I got to temper that with what I know better. I know better. So it's like, I don't know, you could fantasize about, you know, some girl gets drunk and she passes out, and then you could fantasize about, you know, stealing some, okay? And you might have fun doing that, but you know, I really can't do that. Even though I might enjoy it, I can't do it. Yeah. You're unpopular because you're inconvenient to the glutton. Yeah, I don't even think they have to be gluttons, but... you can call them all the imposers, frankly. I mean, there's no other better word. The imposers. The and selfish is kind of a good word. I mean, it'd be better to have a better word for selfish. Okay, in the sense of obsessed with your personal self-interest and completely disconnected and unconcerned, you know, about the fact that, you know, you're not the half-dead cat on the side of the road. You know, you're not all the things that are the price for your wonderful civilization. All your little human fun, okay, comes at this insane cost. All the little pomp and circumstance. La 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 la. You know, oh, it's just so pathetic when you think about, you know, all the little, all the bullshit, you know, the little music when the president walks to his throne, and I mean, it's just, oh, pathetic. By the way, ever see this clip from the show Lori? No chance. I think you would appreciate it. Whatever. I'll go look at it later. Probably I'm not going to appreciate it. I don't have much of a sense of humor anymore. Just don't have one. Okay. It's worth a few paralyzed kids. Matt and his privileged white boy philosophy. Well, it's not even that. It's just he's just such a copper outer. I mean, just, I don't like the truth and run the fuck away. I mean, Matt sort of seemed like he had a little bit of this competitiveness in him. You know, like, you know, sports kind of guy, and, you know, he's kind of short, and he's got some limitations, but I think he really had to fight through that to be somebody, you know, and he likes that challenge. You know, you think he'd like the challenge of taking the facts and making something real out of them, instead of this babble. I mean, this baby talk, it's so girly, it's so pussy. It's just so disgustingly silly, you know, this symbiotic love bullshit that doesn't mean a goddamn thing. It doesn't save all these, you know, especially in nature where it's just a slaughterhouse, for fuck's sake. I mean, you know, the average feral cat, the female, what the average is like 25 kittens. Two of them survive to maturity. Two. I mean, ew, it's disgusting what goes on out there. And, you know, and to talk all that Gaia and love. Oh, it's just so pathetic. Oh, it's evolving into something beautiful. What? What? And especially now when he's watched the culture just turn into shit. I mean, moron on the left of me, moron to the right of me. I mean, insane moron. You know, I mean, idiocracy is so, we are so way up idiocracy's ass. I mean, the idiots are doing the talking in our society, and people are listening to these fucking idiots. Clean your room. God said so. It's right in the Bible. Clean your room or else. All right, maybe it's not in the Bible, but it should be. Clean your room. Anyway, all right, it's another comment. Morals also exist for a reason. So that's just too stupid. Yuck. Morals. What is that? Morals. No, there's value in the universe because there's feeling things in the universe. If there was no feeling things in the universe, you couldn't have any value. There would be no green light, red light. There'd be no good, bad. Because no such thing as a bad could happen. Because there's nothing to feel it. You have to feel bad. If you don't feel bad, then there is no bad. If nothing feels bad when something happens, then it can't be bad. It can only be a bad thing if something has a bad feeling because of it. Asshole. And that's value. So everything is just about appreciating the value of bad feelings. Okay, you said people oppose abortion because they oppose casual sex. Well, I say it and I probably think it's just overtly proven. These are a bunch of petty, dickless, fat, stupid, ugly. You can go right down the list of all the things they don't have and they resent the fuck out of good-looking people having free sex. They hate that idea. They think it's disgusting. Oh, why are they having a good life and I have to live in this Borg with this stupid, ugly wife and these stupid, annoying kids? Because I signed up to be part of their, you know, this retarded Borg religion. And they resent all of the confinements of their religion. So, of course, they resent anybody who's free. They're all imprisoned by their stupid fucking ideas that they've embraced because they can make money doing it or some other reason why they've embraced this babble. And they so resent anyone who isn't in the cage. You know, oh, it's just so obvious. They don't give a fuck about anything called a fetus. They don't give a fuck about the born babies of the poor. They clearly don't give a fuck. They're trying to find every fucking way to make those, you know, those people die sooner. Oh, it's just such a lie. Anyway, you should know yourself that is a good thing. You said people oppose abortion because they oppose casual sex. Why would I think that people shouldn't be able to have sex without having babies? I mean, it really isn't that complicated. I mean, you can get sterilized if you're really too stupid to know what you got to do. All right? And there's certain little things you have to do. You know, you put the condom on the right way. You do a few other things and you're okay. So again, this whole argument is just stupid. Casual sex does not cause pregnancies, okay? Does not cause families, all right? That's not the truth, okay? Willful, reckless sex. Sex where you don't care whether you get pregnant or you don't care about the biological facts that lead to pregnancy. That gets people pregnant. Dumbass. I mean, it's just so fucking stupid. Anyway, you should, yeah, let's see. You have a knee-jerk opposition to religion. Oh, yeah, of course I have a well, logically ordered, lots of jerks against religion because it's so fucking stupid as an idea. You can't get any dumber as a fucking fable. I mean, tell me a Red Riding Hood story. Tell me a Goldilocks story. Tell me the fucking gingerbread story and it makes more fucking goddamn sense. I mean, shit. Amazing. Yes, I have lots of good reason to think religion is insanely fucking stupid. A creator that was created by nobody. Yes, that solves the creation problem, doesn't it? Creation is complicated, so we won't bother with that. We'll just make an infinite intelligence that sits around for an infinite amount of time and then decides one day, I'll make a bunch of feeling things that eat each other. I mean, how fucking dumb could this fucker be? Why does he believe? Why? Because mommy told you this silly story, and that's why you believe it. Oh, you're pathetic. To the point where you just contradict what you perceive to be religion, when even when it makes sense, when none of it makes any sense. I'm sorry. Sex is there for the having. It doesn't have anything to do with making babies. Really doesn't have to have anything to do with making a baby. Stupid fuck. Alright, rat race. I mean, frankly, you can have it like homosexual sex and you're free, okay? So, yes. More gay sex. You know, I mean, again, so what's the opposition of religion against homosexuality? Oh, because you don't make babies, right? Too silly. And you're having fun, which you're not allowed to do. Alright. Rat race in Woo Space. Matt is a dingbat. Well, he's not stupid, so dingbat just doesn't really fit. But he's almost... And you have to argue, from my perspective, I can't deny the evil component. Because the fact is, he is smart. And he knows all this crap he's doing is bullshit. And he thinks... This is the idea in his head, I think, is that we can't fix the big picture. So he's like the modern mystic. Can't fix the big picture. Can't do anything about the problems. Can't stop the monster. So everybody should be just happy when they see Godzilla's little horns coming over the horizon. They should all be like, oh, cool. You know, they should all feel good. Godzilla's coming, la 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 la. They all should dance in the street. Oh, Godzilla's coming, la 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 la. They all should have a good time because there's nothing they could do to stop Godzilla. So that's in his head. He thinks he's being therapeutic and getting people over their problem, and this little love thing will somehow love. And he, you know, but he knows. No fucking way it's going anywhere, you retard. Where are you going? You know, I don't really think Matt thinks he's going to turn into a singularity in the universe, and you know, the Starship Enterprise is going to fly by someday, and he's going to have a whole little, oh, let's do a scene from Star Trek. You know, I'll be the big blobby alien thing, the amorphous singularity, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you can have a little adventure with me. Anyway, okay, are you just using a charged term with repressed? Let's see, are you just using a charged term with repressed? So I have no idea where the context of that came from, so I can't say. I don't know, is repressed a charged word? I mean, it's kind of a simple mechanical idea, you know, compression, you know, repression. Anyway, the 20s and 60s were more degenerate. So degenerate by what definition? So again, it's degenerate because, yes, people realize that feeling good makes sense and we should do it wherever we can. Now, I'd say there was degenerate in the sense that, you know, in the 20s, they, you know, just killed an awful lot of people drinking and driving. They did some really dopey shit. And in the 60s, you know, there was a lot of sloppy living, all right? But, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't like violent crime or something. Anyway, and we see the negative results of that. You see them where? Where do you see the negative results of that? You still have some liberal indoctrination to cast off. Oh, yes, sure. Yeah, we need more Roe v. Wade attackers. You know, we need more fetus preservers in the world. Oh, God. More greedy, selfish cunts, you know. So again, I have no use for Democrats anymore. I mean, they're just too fucking stupid. But I have less use still, always, for the selfish, greedy cunts, okay, of the Republican Party. The scheming, conniving, you know, just so overtly selfish. All right. The audience here may be small, Gary, and sadly you may be preaching to the converted, but, you know, there is a significant portion of the public, a silent portion at this time, who would totally agree with what you have to say. Yes, if you put things on the ballot and you write the question the right way, there's lots of people who say, yeah, we ought to do something about that. Yeah, we ought to fix that. Oh, yeah, we ought to do something. Yeah, so it'll get a 70 or 80% majority. So there's lots of things. You know, you could put on the ballot tomorrow, you know, should we let shoplifters off for free? No, nobody's going to say, you know, it's a tiny percentage say, oh, yeah, let the criminals win. Yes, let them profit from being a criminal. No, let's make crime pay. No, nobody thinks so. I mean, the majority doesn't think so. And yet we have a society that's doing it for some dopey reason. So, yeah, I mean, I was never much for direct democracy, but it's the representative democracy clearly isn't working. The people running are shit. And until you make a viable third party by, you know, instant runoff voting, get rid of geographic voting districts where, again, the same majority always gets to win every election, until you get rid of that shit, okay, then you're not going to have any hope of having a real democracy where everybody's represented, right? So if Congress has to reflect who we actually are instead of who's the majority in every town, and all of the people are represented, then the passion, the real passion that people have for certain things will come through. And you won't have moronic Supreme Court decisions that somehow women don't own their body. Okay, and that you can impose a religious idea on them. Force them to be obedient to your religious notions that fetuses, human fetuses, are more important than dogs and cats and pigs and horses and any other animal on the earth that's fully functional. Yeah, they're entitled to more rights. A fetus is entitled to more rights than a chimpanzee. No, no, it's really not. Okay, anyway. Totally agree that you have to say and suffering and is fed up. How to reach this significant portion is the question. Well, a celebrity is the only way to reach people. So, yes, obviously somehow you have to trigger, okay, the right people. It's always something. All right, continuing. So we're about an hour, so maybe I'll cut this and I can do some more later. And so we'll do one more. Well, we'll just talk a little bit about, we'll finish this subject. You know, this is, you know, frankly, okay, it's about being heard, right? And so YouTube over the years has evolved in the sense it's made it more and more of a popularity engine. It's less and less capacity for anything, any new channel to gain any traction. It's very, very difficult. It's hard to, it's all a networking game. So, you have to network into groups and you have to be a joiner or you're doomed. And, you know, so that's part of the problem. But obviously, it's all being connected to some event, okay, and even being notorious could be to your advantage, or being some, you know, it's all this, it's just this stupid idea that yes, you die meaningfully if you die in a plane crash, and you die meaninglessly if a drunk kills you, that kind of thing, you know, and you know, that's the way the world works. And so I have to work on that part of it. And it's obviously a subject that has, it itself isn't the kind of subject that's going to attract interest, because people don't want to do the thinking thing. They want to do the laughing thing, okay? And they want to laugh so hard it makes them cry. But they really don't want to do the thinking thing, okay? So that's a real problem, is, you know, obviously it's not a message that anyone really wants, even if they, just touching it, you know, it's uncomfortable. You know, even if, you know, even if you're sort of secure in your silly Pollyanna beliefs, you still wouldn't go too close, because you know, ew, it's dangerous. It's a kind of radiation, okay, and it might give you a cancer. So that's all part of the problem. So yes, that's, yeah, it's a problem, but frankly, okay, it's all a matter of time. Who knows what will happen through time, through the passage of time. Okay, there may be a point where this conversation becomes more relevant and all of these words become more useful. Okay. It ain't today. All right, inherit the blight. Why would you use ages like 25 when you know perfectly well that it's not what they are objecting to? I don't know what he's talking about there. Nope. Guess if you used ages that would be more relevant, 13, let's say, your point would be lost. So somehow younger and the point would be lost. So I guess it can't be about sex. I don't know what thing I said you had to be 25. I think I was making some point that maybe it was the point about the fact that, you know, we really should be testing by some other standard than how old you are to decide whether you're a civilized, ready for the world human. And maybe we should just have a test where they have to answer a certain, you know, if you can answer certain questions about practical reality, then you're ready to start your living adventure under your own guidance ship. You know, we shouldn't just have an arbitrary number that says when you hit this number, all of a sudden, you're prepared to be a human being. But anyway. All right, you're saying this to your preferred followers, which can't handle hardship and work. Why should they, frankly? I mean, you know, it's a good question. Why should they be able to handle hardship and work, especially when, you know, the work ends up being the hardship? You know, I mean, it is, you know, in a way, people's lives are ruined by it. I mean, it's, you know, they're a slave to a meager, cruddy little few hours of comfort they get, and they have to pay for it with, you know, a whole day worth of slavery. You know, it's a pretty bad bargain, I would argue. And we'll always just tell you what you want to hear. I mean, go out and be a garbage man for 5 hours a day or something. I mean, yeah. I mean, physically exhausting work, horrible. I mean, you're not going to be able to get the smell out of your nose, you know, for the rest of the day. And or even the sights you've seen, the disgusting things you've seen. What the fuck are you talking about? That's a life worth living? I wouldn't want to live it. Do that 5 days a week? No, thank you. Anyway, in obscure chat room. So I don't visit chat rooms, so I don't know why you're sticking me with any of that kind of crap. A lot of productive type follow what you're saying about institutions and change, though. So whatever that even means. Productive types. I don't know what the productive type actually looks like or is like. So you have to explain the productive types to me. The rich, you mean? Oh, the rich who are consuming more resources and are high maintenance and, you know, just insanely wasteful in their existence. Sorry, no sale. See, it's too bad I make these videos in the morning, you know, because, you know, my garden's been pretty productive. And so I've actually been eating everything out of the garden. And so the only thing extra is pasta and rice. So, it's, you know, you can get a 20-pound bag of rice for like $7. So I've really become quite efficient in the sense that for, you know, a couple of bucks worth of seeds, I eat every day. So it's like, you know, whatever, 10 cents a meal kind of thing. Obviously, you have to cook the rice, so that's expensive. But I just mean it's really gotten quite efficient. That the whole summer, I basically just eat. I don't have to buy food, you know. I mean, except for the $7, you know, for the 20 pounds of rice that, you know, lasts quite a while. Anyway, it's just, just interesting. I mean, I've never been at the stage where I could actually, you know, have a garden that actually fed me. but it's actually working. I mean, it's actually enough, you know, just beets, tomatoes, and cucumbers. I mean, just simple stuff. And it's actually produces enough, you know, to feed me, which is interesting. Okay, so enough of that. All right, so till the next, the Soylent Green is a good one. You know, just because, yeah, my first impression was, so this guy was already ahead of me when he saw Soylent Green. But I was still behind the curve when I first read the book. And so when I first read the book, I was like, ooh, yeah, that is creepy. Ooh, 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 corporations. Ooh, 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 evil, evil. And then it wasn't until later, you know, when I actually saw the movie and then I saw the death scene of the scientist guy, you know, where he goes to the, you know, the go-to-sleep-atorium. And it's beautiful, right? I mean, high-definition video, just, and you just slowly, gracefully slide out of your existence. I thought it was the most beautiful, humane thing I ever saw. I was like, shit, yeah, let's do this. I'll vote for it right now. Let's vote for that. That is just too perfect. Yeah, the world sucks. It's too dirty. It smells. You don't got a place to sleep. Well, yes, just go to sleep. Fuck it. Get out of here. It's too stupid, too silly, too nonsensical. And do it in a beautiful way. And who cares whether, you know, and then I thought about it and I said, well, what do I care what the fucking potato chip is made out of? As long as it's a potato chip, I'm eating it. I don't care what it's made out of. I mean, really. How could it possibly matter if it's not poisoning me and it has potato chip value? Why the fuck wouldn't I eat it? I'm going to discriminate against it because it's made out of dead people? So, but the whole idea is that it would never be efficient to process dead humans into food because it would cost more than the food could possibly be worth. And so it would be a silly idea. If you're in a world of meager resources, it'd be a huge waste of resources to try to convert humans into food. So it had a huge plot flaw in it. And that it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be a solution to the hunger problem. So it's really stupid in that sense. But anyway. Let's see. So this is somebody just saying hello. So the women just do that kind of stuff. Hello. Hi. Love you. Hurdy, hurdy, hurdy. Sorry, I don't want to mock it, but, you know, come on. Sometimes you're really just not in the game. You know, it's all this, this emotional. We have to have an emotional relationship. Fuck. Anyway, so enough of a video, I believe. So, till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot. Yeah, this has been a Google is Evil video presentation. Produced by the good people at Do Not God. Yeah. Don't forget to take your Do Not God pills, and such. Did you get yours in the mail? Yeah.